This week we are discussing New Mutants, and we are taking a break from our normal polls since there are no polls this week. So we will discuss New Mutants at length, written by Jonathan Hickman and Ed Brisson. So I am Juan.
I'm Rodders.
I'm Amos.
And I'm Fox.
Okay, I think New Mutants has been solidly in the middle of my listings, like, throughout. Like, it hasn't really changed. It's always been in, like, kind of the middle. I think the writing is solid. I just don't think it's doing anything particularly new or exciting.
Right.
I think it's a good book.
It's so weird. I feel so, like, out of the usual with this book because everybody, you know, talking about how much better the Jonathan Hickman part of it is. Honestly speaking, Ed Brisson writes it better, honestly speaking. And that's weird to say because I'm a big Jonathan Hickman fan. But I like Hickman. But when Hickman was writing, New Mutants, it felt like everybody had the same voice.
Yeah.
Like, nobody was really unique to themselves. I also feel he sort of, the way he wrote Bobby was, because, okay, Bobby has gone through a big evolution as of recently, like, you know, through, you know, Ewing's New Avengers and then US Avengers, he really matured. He became a true leader and
right.
An adult, and I feel like Hickman, while it was fun writing and it was borderline flirting what he did with Cannibal, which was enjoyable because I ship it, I feel like you kind of infantilize. I don't know how to say it, but I feel like he made Sunspot really immature compared to where he's been at. Because, like, yeah. even if you look at Marvel Comics 1000, where Sunspot was part of the through story with Johnny Wu, Blue Marvel, and Night Thrasher. Sunspot was very mature. He was like talking, he's like dialing, he's like talking about like the betterment of the world and everything, and was really, you know, really like cool, calm, and collected. And then just, I feel like he lost kind of, like, that adulthood that he had. Right. And, like, I'm fine with them, you know, chilling out and having fun and everything. But I just feel like, and because, you know, it's, you're different when you're at work than when you're hanging out with friends. Like, it's true. But I feel like he could have been more of a leader than he was in the book.
Yeah. Here's my, like, view on it. Like, I also prefer Brisson's run over Hickman's. The reason being, I hate women and I love Glob. But the thing is, Hickman has said that he writes the same thing over and over again. And having read his Avengers run with, I think it's US Avengers with Bobby and Sam, it felt like a very repeat of that. Like, he didn't, like, it's fine if you want to write about the same thing over and over, but then when you don't do anything new with it, when you don't change it, when you don't, like, evolve it past, like, the baseline, it doesn't really add anything new to the conversation, and it's very repetitive. I also don't particularly like the fact that it's essentially gay-baiting you, and I think a lot of people give Hickman credit for Samberto, but it's like, he's just gay-baiting us. He's not giving us anything. He doesn't have the balls to give us anything.
Right. I mean, that's a fair point. I like Rodriguez. His art is really good, but Flaviano's art is so much better. It's just...
Yeah, it is.
I feel like Rodriguez is cover art. Fabiano has more of, like, the diverse, dynamic art that you want to see in a comic. Rodriguez is, like, a lot more, like, I want to hang this on my wall.
Right. The way I feel about this, it's like, I feel like Hickman wanted to write New Mutants early on. Like, he wanted to write the old New Mutants. Like, he doesn't want to write the mature, grown up, have gone through the ringer in New Mutants. And it shows because, like you said, he has developed as a character from the New Avengers. And, you know, Roberto has had so much depth to him. And he had his power almost, like, completely leave him and kill him. So for him to just be, like, this kind of, like, cheesy look at the camera guy, it was kind of like, okay, like, it's fun, but I'm like, I feel like it was just dumbing down everything that had happened to him to this point. And like, I get Hickman loves Sam, and he loves Roberto because, you know, he put them in the Avengers stuff, but I'm like, you have all these other characters to play with. You made Wolfsbane basically a puppy. You made Magic into a hornball fighter drunk. And Danny was angry most of the time. And Chamber and Mondo literally had a conversation of like, why are we here? Mm-hmm. Why were they there? I love Generation X. And they had no reason to be there. So, I'm like, as much as I love Hickman on other stuff, I'm like, New Mutants probably what shouldn't have been your story, but I get it that you're like, when they were drafting the X-Men, he was like, but I want to do New Mutants. How about we share it? Because there's a bunch of mutants we want to talk about. And Ed Brisson, you can have the Earth ones. I'll take the space ones. And then even now, that Ed Brisson's writing a New Mutants from now on, he writes them better. Like, he's writing Magic better. He's writing all these other characters better. So I'm kind of like, dude, that's weird.
It's not fair to say that, like, Brisson's run is not filled with faults, because I feel like...
Exactly.
So Brisson's run, the main fault is that it has a very racist undertone with choosing the villains. And that's, like, Brisson's main flaw, I feel. But I feel like this is a flaw throughout all of the X-books, where they're demonizing people from Central America, from Latin America. And I think that's a reoccurring theme by every single white writer.
I feel like they're demonizing anyone that's not with them. Okay, because, like, you know, Russia is a huge part of it, too. And then they have China, too. So
but
I'm kinda
I feel
like everyone...
I think it's everyone, but it's also, it still is racist that they're making, like, characters of essentially drug cartels in New Mutants. And I think it's an issue that we should raise. It's not, I'm not saying, like, the people always have to be, like, bad people always have to be white guys. It just feels like it's been unfairly pushed on people of color who are, like, the demons. And I've talked about this with Marauders, and I think this also happens in the first arc of Brisson's New Mutants, you know? Because they make up, a fake Latin American country to be, like, the drug cartel. And it's, like, it's still racist.
Weren't they all white?
No, that was in America.
They were all Latin?
Yeah. The thing with that, I'm like, okay, I see past that stuff because I'm like, I see what he's trying to do. They're trying to show different aspects of their community getting taken over because they're doing medical stuff. It would make sense for a drug cartel to try to push medicine, and because it does happen in Latin America, that they do take medicine and then go and resell it for a higher price. Yeah. That makes sense to me. Like, just like there is other countries where they're doing... where they're doing the arms. Of course, Russia's going to do the arms because that's always what they do, the Cold War stuff. So, like, I feel like it's definitely more stereotypical.
I think it can be a complex issue. Like, you can have people of color who are also bad guys. I joke a lot about it on Twitter that I'm an evil person. I'm a person of color, you know, like, I'm not against it. I like having villains of color. It just seems like it's unfairly skewed in term of, like, specifically their X-Men reboot.
Yeah.
Like that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying it feels sort of insidious. I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not, but it feels like they might not have enough sensitivity writers or enough editors of color. Because I think this goes back more of an issue of like having a white editor rather than like the writers themselves being white. I think this is like this just shows you how white the X office is at the current moment.
So I would agree to that if all the villains were white. But we also have the evil, you know, veggie grandmothers. We also have, like, not just New Mutants, I'm talking about in general. And we also have, like, the Russians who are white. And we also have,
The
people that were taken. Yeah, the people that were taken. The white, evil white children of the Hellfire Club. And then we have like the people that were taking Forge's the stuff, the demutinizing armor. Weren't they white as well?
Those are Russians.
The thing is though, like I feel like
I think it can be like a two-way issue is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is.
It can be racist, but it also can be just like us just pointing out that like there's not enough writers of color in the room and this is why this is happening.
I feel like there's such a huge magnifying glass, even more so right now, that it may seem more of a prevalent issue. Mm-hmm. And yes, they absolutely need more diversity in that whole office. Absolutely agree with that, especially for what the X-Men are supposed to stand for.
Yeah, so, I think we should have more person of color writers and more women writers. In my opinion, not for this reason, but I think we should have it in general. Yes, I definitely agree with that.
I'm not saying this is just like just because like I don't like the specific thing. I'm just like in general, I'd like more.
Yeah.
Because when you have more diverse voices, the stories sound more real.
Right.
It's very stilted when you have just white writers trying to tell you a story about oppression when they're not oppressed. It's insincere. It's insincere.
You mean like American literature for the last 2,000 years?
Listen, I like myself a good white writer. I like Fitzgerald. He's one of my favorite authors, you know?
He's quintessentially white privileged writer.
Yeah, so I'm not against having white writers. I just think I'm tired of them.
Yeah, I get that.
We as a society have progressed past.
Right. That's why it's so sad that like right now, like, we're still waiting on, you know, Leah Williams' run. We're still waiting on Villala's run. And the main reason I bring those up is because I want to see where they're taking their stories and who the villains are going to be in those stories. Because we've had such interesting introduction of villains so far. Like, you have a cartel. You have your mutant monster things. You have the tree people. You have the
grandmas.
Horticulture. You have the Russians. There's just so many things. I'm like, what are they gonna focus on?
I mean, like, not to put myself out there, but Cameron Hodge, if you're out there, I mean, because he literally runs an organization called The Right. I think it's very on the nose, but I don't think it was on the nose for the time.
Right, but now it probably would be.
But I feel like because it's already established, like, definitely, like, they could be a villain. Like, it literally is so on the nose, and I feel like you can't lose that metaphor. It's very straightforward, and I think that's what some comic book readers need. I feel like some of us can't read through the subtext, you know?
Some people can't, no.
No, but then you have those people that be like, why are you hammering politics in our face? I'm like, because some people are dense.
Yeah,
and some also, people comic are books dense. Is politics. Like, it's always been politics in comic books, or any media.
That's why in this run with Ed Brisson's first issue, where they have Beak's dad sick, and then they're talking about, like, there's no one that knows how to help him. They don't have the money, they don't have the resources to help their father, who's basically going through a version of Alzheimer's, just amplified. And then that's what brings in the drug cartels being like, well, we're going through something too.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is very political as well, which is an interesting way to introduce it. But I'm like, it's the message is there too, guys. Come on.
I'm going to say one thing in Brisson's favor, and I think this sort of has to do with this, is that, like, Angel's background is very racist. Like Angel Salvador.
Oh, yeah.
Morrison writes people of color like he hates them. I don't know enough about him to confirm whether he hates people of color or not, but he writes them like he hates them.
He puts them to the ringer.
So that's all I'm going to say. I'm not accusing Morrison of being racist, but his writing comes off as racist. I don't know enough about him to like fully say that out there because I know people like him. I don't personally like him, but I feel like he took those characters from New X-Men and he gave them like a refreshing, less racist story, you know? Like, yes, they're still living in poverty, but this is poverty, like, that's generational poverty. And that's a completely different, it's a completely different story. Like, it's, don't put them at fault, you know? They're not lazy and racist, blah, blah, blah. Lazy because, like, they're people of color. No, this happens because this is just the cards they've been dealt in their life. And I think that's a nice departure. I do kind of like what Brisson does with a lot of, like, the younger ex-kids. I know he has, like, a soft spot for Glob. And I personally love Glob. I really do like how he's taken Glob over the years and taken him from, like, this misogynistic prick who only likes to start fights to someone who's, like, genuinely kind and caring and just, like, it's just misunderstood because he's ugly.
Right.
I kind of relate to that, you know?
I like how Ed Brisson wrote, like how you're saying about Angel. Yeah. I like how he actually wrote her, like, growing up, maturing, and actually being nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's not angry.
Yeah, in the Grant Morrison run, she was so angry. And she was rightfully angry given her backstory. She was rightfully angry given the backstory that she was given. So not faulting the character, I guess, for that. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that Ed Brisson was like, hey, it's been a few years. They have a family. Well, they had a family in Grant Morrison run, too, but still. They're not teenagers anymore. Supposedly, I don't know. They don't look like it. So they're going to act like adults now, and I'm glad about that. It actually gave them more depth.
And it's an interesting team that he brought together for this beginning of his part, because I'm like, okay, you have Glob, the big old see-through dude that it's so funny that he's see-through because there's a lot more to him than you can see. And then you have Armor, who her whole thing has always been, you know, like, she's very defensive, and she's essentially the Wolverine.
She always got to prove herself.
Yeah, she always has to prove herself. And then you have those two little freaking kids that I absolutely hate. Maxine and... I can't remember the other one.
I'm not going to even... It's French, so I'm not going to be able to pronounce it correctly, but, like, let's just go with it. We know who you're talking about.
Yeah, those kids, I'm like, I don't even know why we kept those kids after the whole, like, X-Men extermination.
I kind of like them. I mean, they're interesting.
They're interesting, but man, like...
Because it shows, like, I feel like it kind of, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but, like, the whole thing, well, one of the underlining plots of this whole Dawn of X thing is that, you know, staying off Hellions is that mutants can't really... control their behavior to an extent because of their powers.
Yeah.
So the twins, like Glob and like the others, mostly Glob though, because of that scene where he's like teaching them how to be better, because they can manipulate people so easily. Yeah. And they think they're like, oh, well, I'm going to help people by manipulating them and killing them by saving my friends. It's like, no, but like, don't do that. You can still do better things instead of killing. Like, still killing is bad even if they're evil, right? You know? So I feel like...
Like he said, he goes, couldn't you make them think that we were their friends?
Yeah.
Why did you make them have to kill each other? So,
like, I really like that they're in here because of that. Like, it gives a different side to the mutantdom.
And I feel every team has the wild card people. Every team has wild cards in it when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to point out that they're children. You know, they're like literal children. So I think that's also fun to have, like, children on the team. We've sort of been veering away from it in X-Men, and I don't know why, because, like, we even, instead of using the Academy X-Kids or using the New Mutants from New X-Men, we sort of have been veering away, and, like, we even bought, like, the 05 back in, like, the 10s. Right. So it feels like people were scared of making...
Why?
That's a whole like other episode.
Right.
Like, if we want to talk about like how bad
that's a whole thing.
Well, that's what's so funny. I'm like, you have this amazing roster of young students. Come on.
Yeah, I feel like Brisson is actually making use of like the. I know he overuses Glob. Like, I'm very well aware. His next generation had like the same issue where it was like Glob and armor. But I like Glob and armor. I'm not suffering from Glob and armor fatigue. I love them both. I think they're great.
Yeah.
And I know he loves Pixie, but I think, and a lot of people have been criticizing him for like not doing plots on Krakoa. But like,
not doing neither, what, Krakoa?
He's not doing any of the plots on Krakoa, you know?
Oh, yeah.
His plots are like, yeah, he's doing his own kind of thing. But like, neither is Duggan.
Right.
Yeah, neither is Duggan.
Like, I think he's just having fun with it. Like, he's, because, like, New Mutants is more of, like, recruiting people to the team, you know? That's the story of, like, having an ex-kid book. It's just, like, we're bringing in people together so we can, like, form a new and exciting story. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, I'm not going to fault him for that, you know? I'm not going to fault him for not wanting to do a story in Krakoa. We have, like, 12 X-books. Half of them can be set on Krakoa and half of them can be set elsewhere. It's fine.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what brings me, honestly, why Ed Brisson's story is my favorite. And that's why the last three, like issue 8, 9, and 10 have been my favorite. Because I love that we get to see Magma's, like, hometown or home city or whatever. Yeah, like, we get to see a little bit of it. And that's kind of cool. And that's, like, a little plot on itself. Another villain of, like, monsters and everything. And then the next two issues, we get to see this, like, crazy, nightmarish mutant that might be, after they deal with it, might be a part of the team, you know? So I like that, like, I like that we get to this new mutant team that's always been about helping mutants, whether it's Generation X or New Mutants. They're actually getting the new mutant again. Yeah. Like, they're going back to their roots a little bit, but in a different way.
It, I do find it interesting that the people that they're trying to bring back onto, or at least Ed Brisson, that he's trying to bring back into Krakoa, are seeming to be, like, broken people, or broken mutants, because, like, you have Beak and Angel, who have, by all means, have had gone through the ringer, and then they're broken now, because now they have repressed memories of Beak's parents dying.
Yeah, that's
and then now you have this nightmare mutant who can't even control her power, and even if she does, she's not gonna be right, like, mentally right. So it's like they're bringing in more broken individuals into the fold.
That's great. I think it's good to have flawed mutants, but I think it's really easy with mutants to fall into like the model minority, and I don't particularly like using that for mutants because I don't think they're particularly a minority, but I feel like in terms of the mutant metaphor, they are.
Right.
And we kind of idolize them, but they can do no wrong. And that's one of the reasons why people hate Scott, you know? It's one of the reasons why people hate him, because he messed up like once or twice. Right. And like, Wolverine has messed up multiple times.
Because times.
But because he's not considered like a model minor, he's not considered like model, like, to forgive him, you know, because he's already like the stereotype of like mutants are angry and brash and mean, so people forgive him.
Right. Absolutely. And like, not everyone can be freaking Dazzler, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, you have your Dazzler mutants, and then you have your freaking oddball mutants, you know, like your Toads, that people don't like, and that, like, oh, make him a janitor. So like, I like that mentality, and this team is interesting because I feel like it's kind of like that too, because the teams that are being put together in this, it's, you know, you don't have all the perfect ones in it.
Like, I mean, going on a different thing, but same thing. do we think Beak and Angel are going to get their repressed memories back anytime soon?
I don't know. Like, Marvel likes to play fast and loose with repressed memories. So maybe not. I'm guessing not now. I think maybe when it's plot relevant.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things where they planted the seed. They planted the seed of that. Mm-hmm. They planted the seed with the
magmas.
The magmas, the monster lady.
Uh-huh.
And then they planted the seed with a cartel.
Yeah, and they planned to see what the space things when those Hickmans run.
Yeah.
So.
So they have a whole bunch of plot devices that they're like leaving to pick up later.
And they're showing that the Russians are going to be a big thing because the Russians are also a thing in Wolverine, right? Yeah. In the Wolverine run.
Well, the thing is, I feel like the whole overall thing with Brissons is it's the whole doxing thing. Because he introduces it in his first issue and then
keeps
bringing it up, and then he brought it up in the most recent issue. Mm-hmm. So I feel that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great because it sort of ties into, how do I say this? Okay, so it sort of ties into how like mutants also use the internet, because we've had like a little bit from Teeny Howard's Excalibur run about how the Richter uses Reddit, you know?
Yeah.
So this is a nice way of like mutants also exist on the internet. It's a very nice way of modernizing the X-Men, because that's feel like even in 2010, like even when they had like this really high tech stuff, it still felt like we were like in the 80s with them. So they were really hard to modernize, and I think having a cast of younger writers, I think most of the current writing staff is pretty young. I don't know how old Brisson is, but I'm pretty sure he's like within our age. He's pretty young. Yeah. Like, because when you, I think that's also why I prefer Brisson to run, because it's young.
Yeah.
It's Hickman's run feels very old and stilted, and it's good.
It's nostalgic.
It's nostalgic. Yes, I hate nostalgia bait. The only nostalgia bait I have is for Glob. That's the only nostalgia bait. Like 20 years from now, when we're on like the third Glob miniseries, I'm the only one that's gonna still be buying it. You know,
Glob is a new dupe for this generation.
Yes, I'm actually surprised Glob didn't get his own miniseries yet. I feel like if any of the X-Cos is gonna get one, he's gonna sell. If only because he looks like a monstrosity.
Right. And I feel like basically that's what Next Generation during Age of X-Men was. Mm-hmm. It was basically a Glob book featuring a Nolan armor.
Mm-hmm. And I think, here's the thing, like, this is why I sort of didn't understand why they'd have, like, a baby Cable book and not give a book to one of, like, the new X-Men. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone is more interested than Babel than anyone else, you know? I'd read a Quentin solo before I would read like a Babel solo. You know, because like Quentin has like a lot of pull. The Cuckoos have a lot of pull. A lot of like the younger X-Men have a lot of pull, and I don't know why Marvel is so scared of realizing that there's a new generation of X-Men readers, because that's how I started into X-Men. Like, that's how I got into X-Men. Like, yes, I read all new X-Men first, but
right.
But the series I really enjoyed were like Wolverine and the X-Men and Generation X, like the
exactly. I feel like Marvel higher ups believe that it's still 40-year-old white dudes that read comics only.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case anymore.
No. Mm-hmm.
Also, this is just to praise New Mutants a little bit more. I think New Mutants is great for new comic book readers.
Yeah.
Because I can't really recommend X-Force to someone who's never read comics before. I can't really recommend, like, Excalibur, I sort of can recommend, but I'd have to, like, give them background.
Right.
Because you kind of have to, like, get into, like, what Captain Britain is about. But New Mutants feels like something that you can just, like, give to someone and be like, hey, this is a really good book if you want to start off with comics. And then, like, they can pick, like, their favorite character and you can, like, refer them to, like, more.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah. He's definitely do a deep dive to get back into knowing more about these people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting that just now, in the last issue, that they're just bringing in, oh my God, how did I forget his name? Cypher.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've, Douglas.
Yes.
That he's barely being brought in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that is so interesting because he's one of the original New Mutants.
So I tried this whole time while y'all were talking to Google Ed Brisson's birthday, or age, or anything, and it is not anywhere on the internet.
Not a mystery.
He is. He looks a recent picture of him. He looks like late 30s.
Yeah.
I've met him once, so he talks like he's in his mid-30s.
Okay, yeah. I could see mid-30s.
We met him.
We did meet him. Yes. Oh my God, we did meet him. His books are literally on the wall. We got him to sign a book. What book did we get him to sign?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Multiple Man.
There we go.
He made me buy it, even though I had a version of it in my hand. Then I had to buy a new one.
No, I don't think we did.
Yeah.
Fox, you've been kind of quiet. Do you not like New Mutants?
No, I wanted to talk. It's just you guys are having such a good conversation.
I
didn't interrupt
you. I thought you left. I was like, oh, he probably just dropped it all.
No, I was still here. You guys were just going on such a good tangent. You guys were so on topic and perfect. It was like, I was like, what's happening? What aliens have kidnapped my podcast hosts? I'm kidding. That was... I wanted to say this back when you guys were still talking about Vita Ayala and Lee Williams. I remember back before... when all this was announced, Jordan had said for the new X books, he wasn't going to be having any Age of X writers in the first wave of X books yet. And that was why, you know, Vita Ayala and Leah Williams were being kept for later. But like, Ed Brisson wrote one of the Age of X books,
right?
X Man books. He wrote the Academy X book. And I'm just like, that's a little iffy, but I'll let that one go.
Wait. Yeah, does that mean Zach Thompson might be coming back?
I don't think Zach Thompson's coming back. No. I mean, I would love if he wanted to come back and write Legion some more, or write X-Man some more, or whatever. Whenever that little amalgam is coming back, because that's going to cause a whole heck of a headache. I like new, and I agree with what you're saying. It's weird that he hasn't done more with Cypher, since Cypher's more or less the most, other than like this Quiet Council, he's like the most important member on.
Exactly.
I think it might be because Jonathan had him hijacked.
Yeah, Kurt. Yeah, you can't really do much with. Can't really do much with Cypher, I guess, when you got like Cypher hiding stuff from everybody else. And like, I wonder when in New Mutants when we're gonna see Warlock pop out.
Right.
When is everybody else gonna find out about it? Like, Magic knows, and I want there to be mentioned.
Oh my God. Like,
I want there to be like. Like, everybody, like, kind of realizes that Magic and Cypher are hiding something from them.
Right.
And I kind of want that, like, Glob gets really nosy and, like he becomes, like, junior detective. And he, like, recruits, like, Maxine and Maxime to, like, help him figure out what they're hiding. And it's, like, just something stupid. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't have cared. I don't know why you're hiding this from everybody. I think that would be really fun. But
I feel like it's coming. Because if you think about it, they're like 3/4 of the team are trapped inside that girl's like nightmare world, and it's only like 3 of them outside of the bubble. And one of them is Douglas, and he has Warlock attached to him. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's going to be one of those no save self friends are in danger kind of things.
Yeah, oh, that would be cool. That'd definitely be a cool way to to bring him into the fold. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that like Douglas has like a really cute design. Like he's like drawn uglier. He's not very cute. Here's the thing. What I like about the new artist, What I like about New Mutants overall is the art with Rodriguez and Fabio. Rodriguez gave us that very ugly Sam, and I am so grateful for the ugly community. I am so grateful for that ugly Sam. I want to print it down and hang it on my wall. If he ever sells like the original panel for that, I'm bidding like $500 on it. I don't even like Sam that much. I just appreciate it so much that he's so ugly. And I love how cute Douglas is drawn in the comics. I love my blonde boys. I have a type. I'll just say it.
Yeah, you do.
So I just think he's drawn very cute. And I think Flavio's art is amazing, I think. he draws everyone really, like, expressive. Because a lot of comics don't really take time to, like, draw expressions in their faces. He draws them, like, in a very nice way that isn't overly exaggerated. Yeah. Sorry, I went on the tangent. I just, whenever we talk about Douglas, I just think of how cute he looks.
No, that's fine. Like, yeah, no, he does really good eyes. Like, the eyes are really expressive. That's what I like about it.
Okay. So, what's... Because I feel like we've done this with all the rest of our retroactives. What's something you want to see in the future of New Mutants? Like, I already said I want there to be a reckoning about Cypher having a whole alien robot as his arm. What does everybody else want?
Can I, like, be immature for, like, 5 minutes?
Go for it.
Okay, maybe not 5 minutes. Like, let's do a lot for me. Like maybe 30 seconds.
Okay.
But, I kind of want, like, people to kind of point out the glob makes squelching sounds when he walks. Because he probably walks and you kind of get, like, a... Right? Like that has to happen. I want
like SpongeBob with his boots.
Yes, but because, like, he's just... I guess he's wax, but he looks like he would make, like, a squelching sound, right? He
looks like a jelly man. He looks like he's made of jelly. Like, grape... Like, not grape. More like strawberry jelly, maybe.
Yeah. So that's my immature want for New Mutants. Other than that, I kind of want to see, like, other... I kind of want to see Hellion again. I have a virus. It's called loving Julian Keller.
You want to see Hellion? That would be fun, especially with armor and there. And I want to see Pixie. Like, I want to see other of the Academy X kids.
Right.
Oh wait.
And Gen X.
I do have a plot. This has been a joke between me and my friends, but we were joking that Brisson is going to have Pixie and Glob hook up, and Glob and Pixie are going to have a baby, but Glob is going to be the one carrying the baby to term. It's feminism. it's feminism for everyone.
Okay, hold on. I love that idea, because that would be so weird. Pixie's like, what? like he turns, like, that would be actually a really interesting story on what that could mean for...
Trans rights.
Well, that I wasn't thinking about, but good point. About, like, making baby, like, Blob is like a baby incubator. Like, create babies.
Well, I'm like, would it be because she's like her, like, she's been transformed into more like demon mutant, and then he's like a weird kind of mutant, so he would be like, I don't know, they would have like a weird mutant kind of demon baby.
That'd be a weird... Oh, man, that's a really great story. Oh, man, pregnant Glob would be so amazing.
Yeah. I'm surprised none of y'all have mentioned this, but you would see, if Glob carried the baby, you would see the baby grow.
Oh, God, that's gross.
During the whole 9 months. Gross. Like, I don't know if I want to see that.
Okay, I just want to, like, point this out to you guys, but uteruses aren't transparent.
What isn't transparent?
Fetus. A uterus.
Oh, uterus.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I'm saying he would have it in an unconventional way.
Oh. Okay.
It wouldn't be like a human. It wouldn't be human birth. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, it would because it's like part demon and stuff. So it would be different.
Oh my God, that'd be so gross looking. Like the baby like bursts out of his stomach like a chest burster from Alien.
I mean, like, he'll probably survive it. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, he definitely would survive.
He'll always survive.
Oh, yeah, he'd be fine.
Or Glob gets a secondary mutation and he can just, like, create more of himself, but not, like, multiple men. Like, if he creates more of himself, like, but, like,
Gremlins?
Yes.
So, like, Iceman?
No, but...
No, like, Gremlins.
Like... Yeah.
They just pop out of him.
Okay.
Oh my God! Oh, that would, you know what? Actually, that would be hilarious. He find out he can just asexually reproduce, and like Pixie's freaking out, thinking she got him pregnant, and she's like she doesn't know how it happened, but it just like
that's just a glob.
Yeah, like Beast like gives a DNA like does a DNA sample, and he's like, nah, this is just all his DNA. Like that's not he can just create little mini globs.
But see, we've discussed this before. How does glob like even
have sex?
Yeah, how does he do that? It doesn't
matter.
I mean, he couldn't.
The demons.
I mean, yeah, true. She could have magical sex. I don't know. I mean, he has a butt. But I don't, like, how does he, no, maybe he doesn't have a butt. I don't know. How does he go to the bathroom?
I don't think he does. I think it's just how, like, it just disintegrates.
Oh, I guess it does. Part of him. I guess the food just does disintegrate in him. This is why he needs a four-part mini, because we need Glob explained more.
Oh my god, that's a literal great title for a Glob solo. Just call it Glob Explained.
There you go.
It would be obviously written by Ed Brisson.
Yeah, that's what I want. You said, what would we want? That's what I want. It has nothing to do with New Mutants. I don't care. That's just what I want.
I was just thinking about it.
It'll be an annual.
I forgot that Glob's flammable.
Glob's body
is flammable. That's going to... I want that to come up again because I loved seeing him just run around on fire.
I have a concept. Glob fastball special. He gets set on fire by magma and then I think...
chunked into the sky.
I don't know who would throw him.
Hellion can come and throw him with telekinesis.
Armor can also just throw him. And that's what we call feminism.
There we go.
See, now you have, like, a balance. Okay, so I do, like, one thing about... Another thing I do, like, when you need it. I apologize for, like, coming back to this, but, like, it has a lot of girls, and they're well-written girls.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because, like, Hickman's run sort of doesn't have really well-written women. But no. I think we've established that he can't really write them sometimes.
I think Hickman... The first page of Hickman's New Mutants was fantastic, and that was... the first three pages when that was Wolfsbane imagining coming out of the of her egg and being revived and sitting and what's her name, Mirage or Danny coming up and being like, everything's fine, like we're good, like you don't have to worry about the past anymore. And then we get that flashback scene where Storm gives Wolfsbane, and that was beautiful, especially with how messed up it was, how the way Rosenberg killed her in his
right.
So that was enjoyable because, like, out of character and inaccurate her death was.
Right.
I was
and
very,
then she becomes a puppy the rest of the time.
Yeah, and that's, I was hoping she'd just be peaceful, like happy, and but not like dumb. That's my only critique. That's one critique I have of this.
Well, I guess, I don't like that she's a puppy, but I feel like, and maybe I'm just pulling things out of thin air. Maybe I'm reaching. But I feel like maybe Jonathan Hickman was like, oh, well, she had a baby. She had a husband. They're both, a child and a husband. They're both gone. She wanted to be back with them, and that's why, and she didn't want to live in the world anymore. That's why she, killed herself and all that. And the last story.
She didn't kill herself.
She didn't kill herself. She let herself get killed. That's right. Sorry, I was thinking of something else. So she let herself get killed. He's like, what would prevent her from not missing them and thinking about them all the time? Because that's what she was doing. She was thinking about them all the time and how the hardship she had to go through and all that. He was like, well, because all the mutants, they get reborn. They're being manipulated in their minds some kind of way.
Something's happening.
Yeah, like, because the things are getting repressed, is... As in, when Domino got reborn, she's like, I can remember it, but I don't really feel it. She's like, it's in the back of my head. It's fuzzy. I remember, but I don't really care. So I feel like he made it so it's like, well, she's still going to want to see her child and husband. So we have to make her more immature and just kind of like...
childlike.
Yeah, and just kind of don't care. About a lot of things. Because if she cares too much, then it's going to go back the way she was. I get, I'm thinking that's what he might be thinking, and it just wasn't written well in that way, or expressed well in that way. But maybe I'm just grasping at straws. But that's the idea that came in my head.
So my idea, since we've done talking about pregnancy and globs, I really want to see them actually use the goddamn Generation X kids in this freaking book, because I swear to God, why even bring them in there? Like, why even have them in the book? I want Chamber to do something. I want Mondo to do something. All Mondo's done is carry the Krakoan plant in his belly and plant it. Yeah, that's all like he's that. Done. So I'm like, I want to see more of those characters develop. And I get it. There's a huge cast in this New Mutants book. But give them the time to shine, just like they did with Excalibur, where they had Apocalypse out of the story. And they gave other people a moment to shine. I feel like that's what this book needs. Give some other people time to shine. Hey, they did it to Magma. They gave her own freaking story, basically.
Yeah.
I think we should... Okay, so I think we should wait until Brick and Cold does this arc so we can get more characters in. I think this arc probably has, like, maybe 2 to 3 more issues in it. I'm not faulting it in any way. I wonder how they're going to collect New Mutants. Because I wouldn't want to have, like, a book... Because it's, like... Because, like, the original, like, Hickman's run is 6 issues... and then Brisson's run is, like, the rest of the 5, because I think we're up to 10, no, the rest of the 4. So I'm wondering if, like, they'll run, if they'll combine, like, the Hickman run and the Brisson run, or have them intertwined.
Right.
Because if they're intertwined, that's, like, a terrible way to sell your trade.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, this was tangential. I was just, like, thinking
about it. No, look, it's just weird how they're doing the Dawn of X trades anyway.
I think they're ugly. That's my hot take. I think they need a graphic design artist on the team. They don't have
they
one,
obviously. They do! That's his design.
Tom Mueller designs the books and...
Like, he's an award-winning designer.
I think they're ugly. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I'm just going to let you know, if this is Survivor, I'm going to vote you off the island. Just FYI. I'm kidding.
I don't like them either. They're not imaginative.
Okay, so that's they're two boring. I'm sorry. This is elimination round, everybody.
We're going to get a cast of, like, new podcasters. We're going to be, like, a rotating cast.
Right?
Okay, I like them. Because I like uniformity. Okay, that sounded really, like, fascist.
You like uniformity?
I like... Because here's the thing. I like when everything... I like matching colors, and I like uniform. Because they have their own independent covers, but, like, for example, this is going to sound weird to me, but, like, DC Rebirth and, like, DC, their cover designs and their spines change, like, constantly. And it's weird, and it's, like, weird when you're, like, collecting them and, like, where, how they're numbered and how, like, where the titles are. And it's weird when you're looking at them on, like, a shelf trying to buy stuff. You're like, what the heck is this? How do these all fit together? I like what they're doing with the Dawn of X ones because, like, you're easily going to be able to tell, like, they each have their color coded, like, each of that, like, New Mutants is yellow, like, Fallen Angels is purple. They have their own colors, and they have easily readable spines. So, like, I could pick them out if I'm at Barnes and Noble. I could pick them out off the shelf. I mean, I'm not going to. I have them all in floppies. But I'm just saying, as my... I have small bits of OCD. Like, I'm not super stringent, but, like, there's some things that just, like, make my brain tick, and I like things that are color coded, and I like things that are easily organized. That's just me.
So you
those
like
are,
it?
Those are the ones with the white covers,
yeah,
and the slight art on the side, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, those aren't bad.
They look like handbooks for a CAT scan machine.
Oh my god.
You know what they remind me of? They remind me of chemistry textbooks. That's what they
Thank
look
you.
Like.
Yes.
I think it's just because I've been in college for too long. I couldn't make the connection.
I have to agree with Fox on this. I don't mind. I kind of yes. like the...
You get to stay on the island.
I kind of like the...
Enjoy his drunk ass.
I like the... I did not... I only had... I had one White Claw like 3 hours ago, and then I stopped because my stomach hurt from it. So, hey, I am completely sober, and this is a sober thought just to say that because he's mean. But I like the uniformality of it because, like you said... It's gonna go on a shelf, you know. There, if you're at a comic book shop or Barnes and Noble or Half Price Books anywhere, and all these books are together, and you're looking for all the books that go with each other, they all look similar. So you're like, oh, they're all there. That's great. I know what I need to read for this run. You know, like the X in I'm looking at it right now. The X in the middle could have been better. You know, they could have made it smaller, not over the art. Because I don't like it over the art. Okay. But I like how the art is there and it's all similar.
Okay, yeah. So this is the thing. It's not the art that's the problem. It's the fact that like they're designed like binders. I feel like they could have had like a better design. I'm not against the uniformity of it all. I'm against the fact that it looks like I'm picking out a binder. You know, okay. That's what I'm against.
I still think it looks like a handbook.
That's fair. I really like the even lines. Like I like the symmetry of it all, and I like it's just all very clean lines. Like it's very. I'm like, ooh, that's really like. I sound like such a dork when I'm saying it out loud. This is gonna sound my brain. I have this thing. My brain goes like a million miles per minute. Like I have a hard time like keeping track of things sometimes, and like my own thoughts. And so when I can find something, like, I can easily just focus on, like, and this is going to sound really weird, and please don't make fun of me for this. I like watching, like, I like looking at blank walls. Like, did you guys watch Daredevil Season 1? Did anybody watch Daredevil Season 1? I got, like, where Kingpin was looking at that, like that white blank painting. White painting. I like that. Yeah. Like, I can understand that, because, like, my brain can just, like... Can just slow down for 5 seconds and wait, you know, enjoy the complete whiteness. And that also sounded weird. Ignore that statement. So I like gears. Lines. I like smoothness. I like easily. I like good like fonts. Like it's a great font.
Okay. Can we just switch gears to like high art for like 1 minute? Because you said white paintings and I have a lot of opinions on them, and I feel I must be heard on this, and you all will hear this. I think white paintings are great. I think, because like the point of art is to enrage, not to enrage, is to evoke a feeling. And white paintings, if they enrage you, they've done what they're supposed to do, evoke a feeling. So they are art. And I think people who think white paintings aren't art are just jealous that they didn't come up with the idea sooner. I do think it's obscene that like they kind of sell for like millions of dollars. I think that's obscene. But I think it's just, like, the audacity of being able to, like, sell a white painting. That's amazing. Because, like, you have to be super confident with yourself to sell that as art. It's not that the people are gullible. It's that, like, maybe you're misunderstanding the point of the painting. The point of the painting isn't that it's a new highbrow piece of art. It's just art to see. It's just art. It's just really pushing the boundaries of what you would consider art. And I do consider them art. I'm sorry we went on this tangent. I just need my feelings on white paintings to be heard. Because I think...
White paintings matter.
White paintings matter. That's all I have to say about them.
And it doesn't evoke rage for me. It just evokes calmness. Like, it doesn't make me angry. I'm just like, okay, I can decompress for a few seconds. And I'm not like, because like, for example, like, I look at my wall and there's like thousands of Funkos on the wall. And then like, my brain just constantly goes like, cataloging all of them and like figuring out and like thinking about where they're from, and
yeah, you have a sensory overload.
Yeah, exactly. And so when I'm like, that's why I like the not so
clean
so...
your room and have white walls.
It might be a good idea. It's why I like the clean, simplized, uniform, like text and you know designs of the new X collection, because it's so simplistic. Some right. I feel like a lot of times everything's just so busy and so, like, bam, boom, pow, flashy that it...
You mean a comic?
Yeah, it's, okay. Haha. Yes, kind of. But, like, that's another reason, like, I like, like, I don't know if you guys, Wonder Woman, for the longest time, they had the artist, Jenny Frazan, as the variant artist. And her stuff almost looks like it belongs as, like, paintings on the wall. And it's not, and so many comic book covers are just, like, punches you in the face trying to get your attention. But, like, Jenny Frazan's covers, they look like they're not energetic, they're beautiful in a way, and it's
right,
it's not like giant flashy colors, it's like, oh, they're not muted, they're just colors, it's not like, and it's cool to, like, there's, it's, I'm sorry, this is a weird tangent that has nothing to do with X-Men. We should probably go on to news when it comes to,
because unless anyone else has anything to say, does anyone else have to say anything to say about New Mutants? I think we're done. No. It's a good book, it's a solid 5 on my rating.
Yeah,
I think it's like top 5 for sure.
It's always in the middle. It doesn't really change.
That's a great thing. It's not, it doesn't make me, like, overjoyed, but it does, it's never really, like,
let you down.
Yeah, it's never really let me down. It's just a solid story all the way through, and I think that's exactly what New Mutants should be.
Oh, I will say this. Our friend Josh cooked the Glob's plate.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
He did that, and he said it was really good. He didn't make it as spicy as it should be. He said it was actually supposed to have chili paste in it, but he didn't have any, so he just used chili sauce. But he said it was really good, but it makes a lot of food.
Good to know. Yeah,
it's for 10 people, I think.
I can enjoy that.
It's for 10 people. Oh, that makes sense. He was trying to make it for everybody.
Okay. We should go on to news and. It's not a lot of news, but it's something that's pretty important. We did get the lowdown on X of Swords when stuff is coming out. And so I would just like, just because I have to, because it's fun, I want to toot my own horn, and say I was correct about X-Men and Excalibur and X of Swords creation being tie-ins in September. But the Excalibur and X-Men issues are preludes and not technically part of the event. Even though I'm guessing they're going to be included in the collected edition anyways. September is Excalibur 12 and X-Men 12. That are preludes. X of Swords creation number 1, which is chapter 1. And then chapter 2 is, oddly enough, X-Factor number 4, X-Factor 1 comes out late July. So I'm guessing that means...
Double issue?
I'm guessing August means it's going to double ship. Not double ship. Then October, we have Wolverine, and I'm going to do it in order of chapters. Wolverine number 6, X-Force 13, Marauders 13, Hellions 5, New Mutants 13, Cable 5, Excalibur 13, X-Men 13, and then X of Swords Stasis number 1. Then X-Men 14, Marauder, and I'm going into November now. X-Men 14, Marauders 14, Marauders 15, Excalibur 14, Wolverine 7, X-Force 14, Hellions number 6, Cable number 6, Excalibur 15, X-Men 15, and then X of Swords Destruction number 1. What is interesting to me here is that X-Factor gets its tie-in, like, first before everybody else, even though it's the newest book. And it only has one tie-in, and X-Factor doesn't tie in at all for the rest of the event, which is quite odd to me, but it is cool. The cover for X-Factor number 4 is something coming out of one of the Krakoan eggs and the 5 being afraid of it for something, and everybody's freaking out except for kind of like what's his name, the Xavier's son,
Moira's son.
Yeah, Moira's son. I always forget, like, who belongs to who. But, like, Proteus doesn't look too worried. Everybody else does. But, and then we got some cool art from, Excalibur number 12 that month for September. And it looks like the Externals, I think they're called, are back. I don't know. I'm not very gifted with who these characters are, but, like, you see Apocalypse walking down the stairway, and there's just a group of people waiting for him, and they look like they're standing in, like, this weird, like, lava pit, and there's some weird shirtless purple guy with a long ponytail. I think someone said his name is Krule, like Krule, which, like, he sounds like a pleasant fellow. But another thing interesting is fun to talk about is X-Factor number 4, which is chapter 2 of X of Swords, is the art is by Carlos Gomez. And if anybody follows me, they'll notice that I've been posting, Carlos Gomez has been posting a bunch of art from some type of X-book constantly in his Instagram stories. And I've been just like cataloging them as they go, and I always wondered what he was going to be doing a book for, what he was going to be doing art for, because all I know that he's, you know, was signed up to art for was the new America Chavez series that comes out whenever that's going to come out, because Marvel dragging their feet about it. But yeah, he's apparently going to be doing the art for X-Factor number 4, which is fun. And also there's it wasn't included in the checklist for some reason, but there is going to be an X of Swords handbook, which is going to talk about, like, it's going to, I don't know if you guys remember those old school handbooks of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I love those, like, books. They're cool.
They're just like character guides. They just help you get caught up. They're like portable Wikipedia pages, which, like, yeah, it's just, yeah, they're basically just encyclopedias, but for, like, the Marvel Universe. But yeah, that's, also, another thing, I don't know if you guys have been seeing those reprints that, like, they're Essential Tales or Marvel Tales or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're just old. Well, the Captain Britain one's supposed to come out in September, and it has X of Swords label on it, but it wasn't included in, the checklist. So that's interesting. I don't know if that means anything or if it's just going to have, like, a reprint of one of the Excalibur story, one of the, like, Excalibur stories that sets up X of Swords. Who knows? That was just something to talk about.
Oh, did you see that? And also on Amazon, they have the whole trade, the hardcover collection of this coming out in November 24th of this year.
I don't know how that's... Well, that's a really quick turnaround because X of Swords ends in November.
Exactly.
So that's, and there's supposed to be a fourth one shot that's supposed to be, well, I don't know how correct the old checklist, but there was a X of Swords one shot that was, the title was to be determined. So I don't, that's weird.
I feel Marvel, like Amazon Marvel didn't update their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Marvel's just not gonna miss out on the, like, Christmas market, you know?
Oh, yeah. That the X of Swords creation is definitely, the X of Swords trade is probably gonna come out December. If I'm and also another thing of interest is Children of the Atom, not on this checklist at all, and it's odd because, like we said, Children of the Atom, they were one, the angel analog was in the X of Swords initial teaser with, and he had his own sword, and I'm still very disappointed. I'm thinking maybe they're waiting till X of Swords ends to do Children of the Atom. Maybe X of Swords sets up Children of the Atom.
Yeah, because I feel like that would be a terrible time to bring this team in. Because I would feel like they would get overshadowed by the event.
Yeah. That's a fair point. It's just, they had to have rewritten, like,
They absolutely had to redo the story, because there's no way these kids were not going to be involved with it originally.
Yeah.
Especially because it was going to come out when? Originally, when was it slated to come out?
Summer, April. Yeah, Children of the Atom was supposed to come out in April, and it was supposed to come out before X Factor.
Yeah.
And it was actually it's actually apparently very important because it was highlighted in red in the original checklist. So but it's weird because they already had preview pages for Children of the Atom, not lettered, but like uncolored, but drawn all the way.
Right.
So maybe they had to redo issue one.
There's a lot of mystery behind that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get it, but I feel like now the story's going to be different because of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe they're going to spin out of something. They're going to be spin out of X of Swords. But I'm sad that we're not going to have this book for, you know, God knows how long. We're not going to have it till probably December at the earliest. So I don't think they're going to be having any extra X books added to the release schedule, since there's so many tie-ins.
So can I just say something?
Yes, you
about
may.
About the X of Swords. I hate the fact that it was supposed to be 10 issues and now it's 22. It feels already it's going to be bloated and clogged, and I really, really, really hope it's not. But the fact that it doubled its issue size is sort of scaring me. Because I know, last time we talked about, like, oh, it might just be like one or two extra issues, but now that it's like twice as long, it sort of scares me that it's going to be like a bloated, clogged event.
I thought it was supposed to be 15 issues.
Was it? I heard 10.
Yeah, hold on, because I remember the if I have it was because I remember in the original listing from Amazon, or forgot where they found out. Yeah, it was Amazon. I remember Excalibur and X-Men both had 3 issues, and that's already, that's already 6. Then there were 4 one-shots, which is 10, and then there's Marauders, X-Force, New Mutants, Wolverine, Cable, Hellions, and X-Factor. So yeah, it was 17 originally. And it's technically 24 if you count the 2 preludes, so it's only they only added about 5 extra issues.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 15.
It's still kind of scary to me that they have it this large. I know it's because I remember the Children of the Atom event. It wasn't fun for anyone. It was terrible. Not the book Battle of the Atom. Sorry, that event just went on forever through 10 different books, and I hated every minute of it. You know,
Battle of the Atom.
Yeah,
it was good.
I didn't like it. I'm sorry. That's my controversial opinion of the night. I thought it was really hard to get through.
I don't really have an issue with how much larger it is comparatively speaking, because I was already reading all these books.
Well, we all are, aren't we?
Yeah. And since I was already reading all these books anyways, I don't like it when other events, because when you get there's sometimes house events where it's there's a Spider-Man event or there's an Iron Man event, but when there's complete line-wide events, sometimes you'll have to pick up books that you don't want to pick up. But since it's self-contained to the X books, and they're all books that I was already going to pick up anyways, I don't exactly mind. And I mean, I like the story, and it seems pretty tightly created because all the X writers are kept things pretty tight already. So I'm personally fine with it. I also like the other way that the way they're doing events now is they're not exactly including ongoing books. They're creating limited series as tie-ins. For Empire, for example, there's Empire Avengers, there's Empire Captain America, there's Empire Spider-Man, there's Empire Thor. And it's not interrupting the other books. Only books I believe it's interrupting is Fantastic Four, Strike Force,
X-Men.
No, X-Men has its own limited. There's Empire X-Men, but then there's also the 2 issues of X-Men proper That's I forgot about that. But yeah, so it's not really, that's one, and that's another style of crossover that I appreciate Marvel's doing, because if you want to pick up those limited series, you can, but you don't have to.
Right. And
chances are they're not going to affect the main story too much.
Yeah, that's why with X of Swords, I'm cool with it, because being whatever long, because I'm already buying the book. I would have to pick up three new books that I wasn't originally buying. So I'm like, whatever. I'm cool with it.
Yeah. Like I said, my point was more towards the story being bloated rather than how many books there are.
Yes.
That was my issue. It wasn't my issue with how many books there are. It was just specifically with the fact that, like, the story might be bloated.
That's fair.
And that's it.
We'll see how it goes. Like,
they're going to do one of those where it's like they only talk about the actual event in two pages and the rest of it's like a regular story.
Yeah. I hate when that happens, because I hate when they like tease things like as a special like tie-in or a prelude to something, and it's only like one page that technically counts as a prelude.
Yo.
Like what's it called? For example, Civil War II, the Miss Marvel was, there was a Miss Marvel issue that was counted as a tie-in, and the only tie-in was like the final page that mentioned that, like, you saw that, like, future telling mutants. And that was it. There was no other, like, big, like, important information set up. That was literally all I wanted to. And, like, I was already reading Miss Marvel anyways, but I'm like, why did this even get the label? Like, it's not, it's stupid. Like, there's no reason this should have gotten the label. You could have cut off that entire final page and it'd be unnecessary. And it'd be, you know, the story would not have been affected at all. And so I hope everything's really like story oriented. And what makes me think it will be is everything's going to be one big story and one continuing plot line is because they're counted as chapters. It's not just a checklist. It's literally chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, so on and so forth. And, like, unlike, for example, there's the Joker War that's happening over at DC. They don't have a chapter list. They just have a checklist. The only main actual story of Joker War is going to be in the Batman book. And, I mean, you can get the other, like, the tie-ins, like Batman, like Nightwing Detective Comics, Batgirl, all the other weird tie-ins. But you don't have to. This looks like the story's actually going to be, like, it's going to be following one after another. And for the first time, I actually think it will be well done, because, like, I mean, you had tons of stories like that, like back in the 90s and like the Spider-Man books, you had like four different Spider-Man books, all with, you know, different writers, but each issue counted as an ongoing chapter. And it was all over the place. But I think it'll be different this time, because, like, Jordan White and Jonathan seem to be running a pretty tight ship. So I don't think it will be as bad. Personally, I don't think it'll be bloated. I think it'll have good story and good reasoning for making it larger than it already was.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
So before we sign off, what do we want from X of Swords? Like, one, like, self-indulgent wish list. Just name off what you guys want.
Well, I want them to I obviously want them to set up Children of the Atom. But I really don't. The thing is that, like, everything that happens in Dawn of X a lot of the time is just not something I expected. Like, I obviously want to see, of course we're going to see Apocalypse's original Horseman. And I want them to have good personality. Like, I want to go into, like, the past of those characters. That's it. That's all. Okay. I don't got much for you guys. I'm sorry.
For me personally, I really want to see some development with the summoner. I really think he's a cool character. I know Hickman loves his, like, monotoned one-color villains or characters, like Ex Nihilo. So I want more Sumner, and I want to figure out if he's the only kid that the Four Horsemen have had and how he ties in with the rest of the Krakoan community.
That's neat. That's a good thing. The only thing I can think of, it's purely based on the title. I want magic since she's well-versed with using a sword for years of her life. I want her to teach the other mutants how to use a sword that have never used a sword before.
All fair self-indulgent. I don't think you guys have, like, super self-indulgent. Let me show you how self-indulgent we are. I want a love story for Apocalypse. I want a love story for Apocalypse with Moira. That's what I want. And I think it's plausible because this could also be setting up our Moira book that's going to be coming soon, hopefully. You know?
Right.
So that's a self-indulgent wish. It's not going to happen, but if it does, know that I was right. secondly, I kind of want to see more of the, if, like, he could bring back the Apocalypse twins.
Right.
Because, like, I don't know, like, they're not really horsemen, but I feel like they were such iconic Apocalypse hosts. Like, their Apocalypse story is way more interesting than Warren becoming Apocalypse. And personally, I'd personally like to see them again because they're both mutants, but they also have this tie with time. And I'd love to see that play into, like, how they would work on Krakoa.
Awesome. Well, if we're being indulgent, I really, really, really want to see them F up the magic in Otherworld. Because you know that's going to happen.
Oh, yes. That would be great.
I also want more development on Nightcrawler and his church.
Yeah.
I want more development of that. And I think there will be. I forgot what description was it. I think it was maybe the X of Swords X of Swords creation solicitation where it, like, says something about the tower. And so maybe it will be involved, but who knows? Anybody else have anything else they want to say about X of Swords?
I'm just excited for it. I wanna read it now. I wish it was September already.
Yeah.
Just give it to me now.
If nobody else has anything else to say, I do want to make a small recommendation to, like, you guys and maybe the, you know, listeners. If you guys, I had to do, like, a little bit of driving today, like, and I started listening to the Wolverine podcasts or the Wolverine audio, like, dramas on
The Long Night.
Yes. Have you guys listened to them?
No, really. I'm doing Jessica Jones.
Oh man, I forgot. Is that on Spotify or Apple?
No, it's on Serial.
Well, the first season of Spotify is.
Well, no, The Long Night is on that. The Jessica Jones one, you have to, like, purchase it.
A Serial box.
Curses.
Yeah. It's good. Without getting too far into it, the Hellfire Club's in it.
Ooh.
I haven't started it yet.
I don't have any money to. but I highly suggest, if you guys ever get a chance, the Wolverine Long Night. It's not even really a Wolverine story. It's more of, like, a murder mystery, and, like, Wolverine's like a background character. He's on the peripheral of the story, and it actually mainly follows around these two government agents. I haven't finished it. I'm pretty sure they're Weapon X agents. But it's really good. It's well voice acted. There's great sound effects. And it's really good. It's very gripping. And it's written by Ben Percy.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's right. That's how they brought him in.
Yeah, because they made a comic. They adapted it for a comic. I haven't read the comic form of it yet. I'm going to read that when I'm done listening to the audio.
Nice.
But I highly suggest it. I highly suggest it. It's really good. It's like, it's really good. And there's also a sequel to it, like the Lost Trail or something. And the Lost
Trail. Yeah, it's set in New Orleans. Apparently.
And so yeah, and I'm excited. I really enjoy it. I'm gonna continue listening. And each episode's like an hour long, around there. So it takes up a good chunk of time if you're tired of reading. I guess that sounds kind of weird. Or if you're just driving somewhere, if you have to take a long drive, I highly recommend it because it really helps. It gets you. It sucks you into the story.
Nice.
And that's
well. With
that's
that,
only
guys,
tangentially applied to this, but I just wanted to give a good suggestion because we're all stuck at home doing, you know, God all, you know, knows what we're doing.
Hey, I'm living my best life. Learned I can write tentacle form for myself, and I'm living my best life.
I've been going to work 5 days a week for 8 hours a day, so I haven't been stuck at home as much. But
just wait.
But yeah.
Anyway, guys, we should wrap it up.
This is the wrap up.
All right.
I am Rodders. You can find me at Rod Bunny Slay on all the socials that I have.
I'm Almas. I'm Unworthingtons on Twitter, and I am Diamond Gore on Archive of Our Own.
I'm Fox. I'm AgentFitBits777 on Twitter, and that is all. Do not come looking for me, because I will find you first.
And I am Chongo ATX on all my social medias. And thank you so much for coming to our habitat, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.